So you're saying,
yo, third dude, I just got paid and I want to get laid.
Might your humble narrator suggest a live Smodco show? See Smod.com list all the upcoming performances with links to tickets. As for getting laid, that's all on you, amigo. We just make you laugh till you shit your pants. The Smonsters of Talk could be coming to your town. Go to csmod.com and find out. Smodco's been blasting its own brand of fuck yeah for years in all forms of media. If you're saying,
hold up, sir dude, what about video games?
We got that market covered too. Visit smarcade.com to learn about two, count 'em, two games for your iOS and Android device. Jay and Silent Bob grace your mobile with Too Fat to Fly and Let Us Dance. Get your game on, Smod Goblins. Check out smarcade.com. Smodco Internet Radio broadcasts the free funny, but you can broadcast your Smodco love with merchandise. Shirts, posters, comics, memorabilia, and more. jandsilentbob.com is your hub for Comic Book Men, Secret Stash, and Kevin Smith's cinematic catalog. It's an online one-stop shop that fulfills your need, minus the weed. jandsilentbob.com. Bookmark it, baby. It's time to babble the fuck on. Live from the John Lovitz Comedy Club at City Walk, Universal Studios Hollywood, it's Hollywood Babylon with your hosts, Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
Garmy strong.
Garmy strong.
It's Friday night in Hollywood, so let's babble the fuck on. I'm Kevin Smith.
I am Ralph Garman. And you are the intrepid few who said, fuck the rain.
Yeah, man, this is a... Garmy strong in the weather, too, right, man. Garmy plays the elements and shit. Garmy is an individual. You know, it's like we talk about Garmy like it's one mind, like a hive mentality, man. Like fucking the Borg.
That's right.
And you'd be the Borg queen.
Yeah.
Garmy queen. Sorry. Garmy king.
Just saying, the Garmy doesn't worry about weather. We go out there and we fight. We fight the fight.
They're amphibious.
Yes.
Well done.
We kick ass.
We kick ass, indeed, sir. So let's kick some ass. Let's give some shout-outs to some folks who came out from some far-off places this week.
Okay.
First, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Penis, who's in the crowd tonight. He's up there someplace. There he is. On the New Year's Eve show, we gave out the Mr. Penis and Miss Sandwich Award. And Mr. Penis is here tonight wearing his sash, so we want to thank him for swallowing his masculinity and wearing a sash that says Mr. Penis on it, I guess.
I don't think he's taken it off since New Year's.
I don't think he has either.
You're memorable when you walk around with a sash, any kind of sash, let alone one says, Mr. Penis.
Yeah.
People are like, he's back.
He's like a spokesperson for a bad sex shop. He's out there in the parking lot waving people in with a giant penis.
Fuck safely.
That's right.
Shop sex smart.
Is Zach Wilson here tonight? Where's Zach? Hey, Zach, how you doing? Zach says, my girlfriend Rachel got me tickets to the show tonight as a Valentine's Day gift. That's one shitty gift, Zach. Your girlfriend Rachel owes you better than that. Unless you're a really selfish lover, then you're probably getting what you deserve. I hope Ralph could thank her in one of his voices. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that, Zach. That's not possible. She's an HBO virgin, and I figure getting her a shout-out might thank her for taking me out for a romantic evening of two guys telling cock jokes for an hour and a half. Yeah, well, that's her mistake.
They ask with one hand, they slap you with the other.
That's right. Rod from St. Louis is Rod.
Are you
here
not going to do any impressions for me at all?
No.
Really?
No. I'm not a fucking trained monkey. You don't throw peanuts at me and I just start dancing.
They're actually here, though.
I know.
You shouted them out and you're like, I'm not doing it. Moving on. Like, what kind of cruel Garmy trick is this?
Teaches to be prepared. Never know what the world's going to throw at you.
I'll do one for you. Okay. Hey, I'm Al Pacino. Hey, hey.
Wow.
Oh.
It's as if he's in the room with us. That's uncanny.
Hey, it's me, Ralph Garman. I'm the governor.
Wouldn't I say I was Arnold Schwarzenegger, though, if I was doing that voice? I probably wouldn't say, hey, it's me, I'm Ralph Garman. I probably wouldn't say that.
I want you to do the whole show in that Arnold voice.
Rachel, you give your boyfriend the worst Valentine's Day gift ever. You'd be better off with a box of chocolates made from X-Lax.
There you go.
He leaned over and he was like, that was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, he didn't have to do that. You're very welcome, Zach. Happy Valentine's
Day. Welcome and happy Valentine's Day. I would have preferred anal. Exactly.
Anal, yes.
Tickets. I have tickets. Spin.
Rachel, if you really want to give him something, let's all go inside. You know what I'm saying?
Ticket to paradise.
Rod from St. Louis, I think we were talking about. Is Rod here? Where's Rod? Make some noise. Make some noise. I can't see you, Rod. You got to make some noise. There you go. All right. It's waving. Jeez, it's like waving to Stevie Wonder up here with the lights in my eyes. I can't see shit. He came from St. Louis, Missouri, to be here.
Oh, the M.O., the big Mo he is.
Yeah, he's the big Mo. He and his brother, he says, are both big fans, but he couldn't make it out here, but they are going to be at the Red State screening in Kansas City next month.
Right on, so, you rock.
So give a big shout out. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Welcome. See you in Kansas City.
Jason, is Jason here? Woo! Jason's treating himself and his wife and his buddy to the show. He said, if you wouldn't mind telling my wife Vivian how beautiful she is in your Chuck Heston voice.
Dance, monkey!
Ah, Vivian, you're as beautiful as Nova, the mute girl I met on the Planet of the Apes. Ah,
there you go. Congratulations.
Nova was a good poll.
You like that?
I was impressed. Yeah.
She was hot.
Yeah, Nova. Yeah.
Eric and Sam, are they here? Eric and Sam from New Jersey? Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
From Jersey. Eric and Sam from Jersey. Fucking New Jersey people.
Hey.
How about Nicole?
Welcome, hometown friends.
Where's Nicole? There she is. Nicole and her boyfriend Eric are celebrating his 22nd birthday, so she got him tickets. This is our fourth Babylon, she says, but we're bringing five Babylon virgins.
I was one of them.
Just
was
popped their cherry.
Just losing it, yes.
You could make his day if you gave him a birthday shout out in 1920s Ralph.
Yeah!
Another page on the calendar turns, Eric? Well, get out of this chuckle hut and show your dame a good time. Find a speakeasy where the drinks are cold and the jazz is hot. Then get out there on the dance floor, cut a rug, then strap on the feed bag and eat until the buttons pop on your waistcoat. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. All right, quick look at the email. This comes from Adam. Any chance you could have John Lovitz guest co-host one night where Kevin is out promoting Red State? Turns out that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yes, I've heard that's the plan.
March 12th, here in this very room, John Lovitz will be sitting next to me as the special co-host while Kevin's out there pimping his movie. Our movie.
Red State.
Yes.
He's going to be the co-host?
He's going to be the co-host, yeah.
Who's the first co-host in my absence? I leave. This is my last Babylon until the 18th, I think,
right.
Or something like that.
You will be missed.
Thank you. Yeah. Although, I'm not going to die. Now you got me thinking all Richie Valens, Bopper and shit like that. Wow.
Speak out of turn yet. Let's wait and see what happens.
That's true. Could mean great things
for the
box.
Don't make me play
office.
This tape back.
That's true.
How wrong he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Hollywood doom prediction.
Yeah. Hollywood doom prediction.
Well, I will be in New York with you next week. I'm going to go to Radio City.
So the show's down next week.
Show is down next week. The following week is the 12th. That'll be the first week back, and that's when John Lovitz is going to do it.
Right on. Who else is doing it while I'm gone?
We do the 18th, and then on the 26th of March, Adam Carolla will be sitting in for you.
Right on. That's like old home week for you, because you guys used to live together.
We were roommates for many
years. Yeah, eating each other's balls.
That's not what we did at all.
No, those roommates did.
No. Did you ever have a roommate?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
You're all about ball eating.
Yeah, I'm just like, here's your room. Hey.
I can see the ad on Craigslist now. Need roommate, split utilities, eat each other's balls.
Why won't anyone answer this ad?
So odd. Adam also asks, part two of his question, is it just me or does the new Mattel retro action line Captain Marvel figure look exactly like Ralph? Well, I had not seen this figure, so I got a picture of it. I went out and looked there, and I said, I'm really not a good judge.
They need to get that Fonzie doll, put the leather jacket on this guy. And but it's you,
according
man.
According to my wife, that looks exactly like me, and now I've got my own action figure.
Totally.
I just need to start wearing a Captain Marvel costume everywhere I go, and it'll look exactly like me. This comes from Al in Canada. As a member of the Canadian Garmy, I'm... What's so funny about the Canadian Garmy?
I didn't know you were international.
Hell yeah. They're defending our border up north.
That is an amazing... That's a universal Garmy, then. You cross borders, man. We're no like, borders. Garmy, no borders.
It's like a NATO coalition
of people
who hate stuff.
Hato.
He says, I'm quite concerned that the troops are losing morale with the harsh words from the fearless leader. Look, I make fun of Canada sometimes, but I don't mean it. Who knew Canadians were so thin-skinned? Occasionally I say, fuck Canada, and they take it all personally. But I don't mean it. Stop applauding. They'll get the wrong idea. It's just a joke. Usually it's in regards to Justin Bieber, and I don't blame all of Canada for Justin Bieber, just like they shouldn't blame us for Chelsea Handler. Who's from Jersey, by the way, I found that.
Is she really?
Yeah. Fucking New Jersey.
Makes sense.
Al says, also, I would like to vote for Emma Stone to fill in as co-host while Kevin goes on the Red State Tour. Yeah, so would I, Al. That's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah, man, why don't you get some pussy on the show while I'm gone? Like, now that the fat dude's out of the picture, bring in some tits. That's what the show needs, is tits. Like Porky's. Yeah, girl tits, not like mine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could sit up here and suck my own boob and shit, but... It's not going to be that sexy.
But then, here's the thing. How many funny, funny women do you know? Just a handful, right?
No, they're all funny. In their own inimitable ways.
Yeah.
Especially when they're like, your dick is small. I'm like,
you're such
a kidder. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Tyler from Milwaukee writes in. We were talking about the RoboCop statue last week, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. He says, in Philadelphia Detroit. Has the Rocky statue, which I know well. Detroit has a RoboCop statue. In Milwaukee, Tyler being a proud Milwaukeean, we've got the Fonz statue. It's called the Bronze Fonz. Maybe we wouldn't win in a fight, but we are certainly much cooler. Ayy. So Tyler sent a picture in of him with the Bronze Fonz. There he is. Looks like a Fonzie crossed Goldfinger. That's what it looks like. He really pissed him off.
His skin was suffocated. He's up in the burlesque dancers. Leave a patch of skin in the bottom of the back so the skin can breathe.
That's how Connery explains away the girl dying at Goldfinger.
Oh, I thought you were doing fucking Fonzie. And I was like, that doesn't sound like Fonzie. You blew the bit, Ralph. And then it turns out
Bond,
it was Bond.
See?
Yes, yeah. I thought you said Bonzie, Fonzie. I got confused.
Ralph and Kev, two things I want to bring up for you. Kevin's oral impersonation of sucking cock sounds a lot like me eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Either he's sucking cock wrong, or I'm eating peanut butter sandwiches wrong. The world may never know. One, two, three. He also adds, before Canada has to start apologizing for Bieber, I think the U.S. has a few things to account for, namely Joey Lawrence. He's got a point.
What a weird, hostile poll.
Again?
Whoa. Wow, man, that was good. I felt like I was on Blossom for a second.
Little Blossom flashback.
A very special episode, too.
And Haitia's butthole continues to haunt us.
Woo!
Opus writes in, funny thing you guys might want to know, if you start typing Anne Haitia into the Google search bar, Anne Haitia's brown eye is the first result. Keep up the good work. I am not one just to believe something someone sends me on the internet.
Of course not.
So I thought I would put it to the test, and I ran it up there, and this guy is wrong. It's the third thing that comes up when you type in Anheuser's name after spread.
Anheuser's butthole, Anheuser's butthole, Anheuser's butthole. Let's all go inside.
Yeah. We did That's mention last week that Anheuser's Butthole, the song, sounds like the beginning of a kid's show.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we also mentioned that someone bought a Dora the Explorer DVD and ended up there was a hardcore porn on the DVD when the kids put it in the DVD player.
Mm.
Those two stories mated and had a baby. And it is the image that Yuri put together for us in this email. He says, the image speaks for itself. So we have Dora the Anal Explorer standing next to Anheuser's Butthole saying, let's all go inside. That is the bastard child of those two bits.
If I was Anheuser, I'd be so proud of all this, you know? I'd be like, wow, someone noticed, thanks.
That's who I should get as a co-host.
Yes!
We'll have Anne sit backwards.
Yeah, just ass facing the crowd on the table.
That's right. Just have Anne put her ass on the table, put a microphone next to it.
Let's all go inside.
Dear Kevin and Ralph, I'm a huge fan of shitty films. And since you since you guys seem to enjoy
where this is going.
Starring in and making them, respectively.
Oh. Ouch.
I think you should combine your powers and create a new Sci-Fi Channel original movie in the vein of Sharktopus. What is the name of this dream team project, you ask? Astopus.
All right, I'm back. I'm back in this guy's court. He lost me, but he's got me back.
Joey says, here is a poster you can show investors to get the ball rolling, and he actually did the one sheet for Astopus. It's half ass, half octopus, with me and Kevin cowering underneath it. But I like the tagline, which says, Astopus, never go ass to puss. Which in the world of safe sex is always a good idea because there's all kinds of bacteria you can spread that way. And I think he's got a point.
I didn't know that he meant astopus as in donkey.
You thought it was
ass. That's why I was back.
No,
yeah.
Because the sharktopus was half shark, half octopus.
Yeah, this could be half octopus, half human ass.
Once again,
Anheuser with arms.
Anheuser gets a starring role. Good for her. This week, some sad news. We had some greats who passed away, so it is time, as always, every week for the Tinseltown Stiffs.
And now, another edition of
Tinseltown Stiffs.
They will be missed.
Got a lot of emails from the UK this week insisting that I mention an actor named Nicholas Courtney, who played the Brigadier on Doctor Who for 100 episodes during the 60s and 70s. He starred opposite Tom Baker, my favorite Doctor Who, but he did 100 episodes as Brigadier Alistair Lethbridge Stewart. All right, there we did. We mentioned it.
He'll be missed.
He will be missed.
It's just a shame the Time Lords couldn't save him.
Died at the age of 81. They could have gotten in the TARDIS and gone.
That's
and,
what
you
I'm
know,
saying, yeah. But they were just like, man, we're busy.
Fuck him, we're busy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sonic screwdriver and shit.
Big bucket of win.
And this one was a shock and a real sad story.
And go ahead.
Dwayne McDuffie. If any of you are comic book or animation fans, you know that name. It was a real shame. You're right. Dwayne McDuffie co-founded Milestone Media, which was his own comic book line, but also he wrote for Marvel and DC.
Line of black superheroes.
Right. He was an African-American who got tired of seeing all white superheroes and kind of did something about it. Created some superheroes, created Static,
right,
which became a popular kids show. He created that character, did a lot of great runs on Batman and Fantastic Four and Justice League. And he wrote for animation as well. All-Star Superman was a DVD just dropped this week that he wrote.
Yeah, he's on, yeah.
Yeah. So he passed away apparently at the age of 49, complications during surgery.
They
so.
Were just about to have a shindig for him at Golden Apple downtown, and it became a kind of memorial shindig because he was supposed to be there for the signing of a few books and as well as that Superman, All-Star Superman thing, but he died and they turned it into more of a memorial thing, celebrating his life and work. He'll be missed.
He will be
missed. He's a really good guy.
He will be missed.
Big bucket of win there.
Let's talk about the new releases coming out in theaters this weekend. Just two big movies, really. One is Hall Pass, directed by the Farrelly Brothers. Owen Wilson and Jason Sudeikis play a couple married men who are granted a week out of marriage by their wives.
Okay.
This science fiction film is doing quite well in the theaters already, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And also in theaters this weekend is Drive Angry, which is
Whoa, really?
Just because it's a great name for a movie. I think that's why people are cheering, especially in Los Angeles, where most of us do drive angry.
Yeah, not in this weather, though.
No.
I drove up here like an old lady.
Oh, you're the guy. I was probably behind you on the freeway.
Man.
Nick Cage plays, well, it's the same old story. It's about a guy who escapes from hell.
Oh, my God, it is. I didn't know this. Because, is Nick Cage the vengeful father?
Yeah, because a cult kills his daughter and kidnaps his granddaughter to use in a satanic ritual.
Are you fucking shitting me?
No.
Why aren't we watching this right now? This sounds... I didn't even know this was the plot.
Yeah, he escapes from hell, and Satan sends one of his, like, vice devils out from hell to capture him and bring him back, but before he does, he's got to rescue his granddaughter, who's a baby.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard, man. That sounds amazing.
It must be a high thing, because that doesn't sound good to me at all.
It kind of sounds... No, really.
Dude, what if you were in hell and you escaped?
No.
Because,
no,
like,
man.
They kidnapped your granddaughter. Do you think the devil would be pissed and send somebody after you?
You don't think that sounds kind of fucking...
No,
metal?
It sounds horrible.
That sounds metal.
Sounds what?
Metal. Fucking throw up the horns, bitch. All he right. Escapes from hell. He's got to save my granddaughter. Yeah.
I want my granddaughter back.
Who's that?
Nicolas Cage.
That sounds like gay Nicolas Cage.
I'm more of a hell protector.
Offer me lips or hips.
You want lips or hips?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a Nick Cage impersonator on Santa Monica Boulevard. Over in Boys Town.
No, I always took that from...
One that I use frequently, thank you.
Right. All right.
I'm more of a treasure protector.
That's where I got that from National Treasure, when he says that. Are you a treasure? Are you a treasure hunter?
I'm more of a treasure protector.
You close your mouth like you're Thurston Howell.
They're very similar.
You talk like a billionaire.
Oh, lovey.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain, what are we getting off this island? My granddaughter got kidnapped. I need to escape hell.
And here come the two demons. Gilligan!
Oh, little buddy, we'll never get this guy back to hell. Skipper!
Credits. See, how can you not want to see that movie, man?
Because the cast from Gilligan's Island isn't in it.
I know, but if we went
just
together...
Just Nick Cage driving angry.
If we went together at that point, we could be like, here it is, start doing voices. We could wear fucking those headphones and just, you could do voices the whole time, man.
Oh, little buddy, we'll never get back to hell.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is amazing.
All right, let's get to the showbiz news. Charlie Sheen. Oh, we're going to do... I don't know how much time we have, but we could do the whole night, really, on Charlie Sheen.
What happened?
This guy...
Let's do it, man. Babylon, special report. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Chuck Sheen. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Machine malfunctions. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
CNN should hire you.
All right, yeah.
Charlie Sheen refuses to stop stepping on his own dick this week. The week started off pretty good for Charlie, actually. Last week, he made an ass of himself on Dan Patrick's radio show, but that had kind of blown over. And he got some good news this week. Casey Jordan, the porn star escort that he fucked during that famous three-day coke binge.
Mm-hmm. We say made love where I come from.
Okay. She announced last week that she was pregnant.
Yes.
This week, she announced that she went to Oregon, her home state, and had an abortion.
Is that the sort of thing we announce now?
If you're Casey Jordan, it is. So I'm saying for Charlie, who didn't know if the kid was his or not, that's pretty good news, right?
Yes, totally. If you're Charlie and you read that chick's Twitter, you're like, right on.
Exactly. Big bucket of win.
Big bucket of win. Yeah. I can afford to go fuck me some more porn stars. I dodged a bullet. I am machine.
She released a statement this week. I kid you not. I had the abortion last Thursday. I went home to Oregon to have it because that's where I grew up.
And where the baby won't.
Thank you, sir.
You and I are going to hell, and we're going to need Nick Cage to bust us out.
All right, you guys are coming with me.
I'm like, where's your motorcycle, man?
We're going to drive angry.
You must be a billionaire. Only billionaires talk like that.
She went home to Oregon to have the abortion. Because you want to be surrounded by people you're familiar with when you have the abortion.
Yeah, totally.
I was sick on the couch all day, she said. Sad face. I think it might have been too soon to be Charlie's baby, but you never know. I get pregnant very easily, she writes. No, I'm not stopping. This young lady screaming, stop, stop, stop.
I'm with her.
Another order of nachos for her, please, on me.
This is tough. This is tough.
Charlie and I tried to use protection. I kept having to put it on again.
What does that mean?
It means either Charlie's got a pencil dick, or he's not Liam Neeson, no. Or due to all the blow he was doing, he had a hard time maintaining an erection, I'm guessing. I would stay classy, exactly. I was just impressed he was able to finish, really, she ended her statement with. So I'm saying, good start of the week for Charlie.
This wow, man. She's milking the minute, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
We know everything that's going on. We know everything that's happened to her since that night.
We do.
She's really kept us abreast, pun intended.
We know she got a check for $30,000 from Charlie. We know that. And then she used some of it in a clinic. Oh, come on now. Come on now. It won't be missed.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, sir. Then Martin Sheen.
That scared me, man. I was thinking of the poor dead baby, and all of a sudden, boof, someone was next to me. Ah!
Maybe one of the archangels had come for you already? Yeah,
that's not funny. Ah! Ralph, they came!
We've had enough of your talk, Smith.
I'm like, man, what about him?
Oh, his time will come.
See you now, Ralph.
I'll break you out, Kev.
Charlie Sheen went on record, Martin Sheen went on record this week talking about his son. That's the guy I feel sorry for this and all this. Martin Sheen, by all accounts, a classy guy, seems like a good dude.
Good dude, good actor, hell
good
of an actor.
An activist for a lot of good social causes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said to the press this week, having someone you love suffering from drug abuse is like having someone in the family suffering from cancer. He said, you have to have equal amounts of love and concern while trying to lift up the one who is suffering. Which I thought was very touching because then Charlie went to the Bahamas with his porn star girlfriend, his new girlfriend, and his soon-to-be ex-wife. Apparently the four of them went on a vacation together. Brooke Mueller, his soon-to-be ex-wife, moved back into the mansion. This is the one he put the knife to her throat, remember, at Christmas time?
Yeah.
She decided it was a good idea to move back in with Charlie as their divorce is pending. Because he's got Brie Olsen, the porn star, and his new girlfriend already living there. So that sounds good, right? The new girlfriend, by the way, who Chuck said to reporters when asked what was her name, none of your fucking business, was reported by Good Morning America as a graphic designer. It turns out that is not the case. She is, well, it's close to graphic designer. She is a marijuana bikini model. Her name is Natalie Kenley, and she is a pinup girl for a magazine called Cali Chronic X.
I just renewed my subscription.
I'm sure you did.
I know her work.
She was the Chronic Girl for 2010. I don't have to tell you that.
No, of course.
Yeah.
She wore a sash like Mr. Penis.
That's right. Just had one big merit badge. It was just a leaf. They all went to the Bahamas together. Then Charlie had to ruin it all by going back on the radio. Oh. I don't know if you've heard any of this, but I plan to play it in its entirety tonight. He went on a show called The Alex Jones Show. And for those of you who don't know who Alex Jones is, he is a conspiracy theorist nut. He is one of these, what's that clip they show on YouTube? The nickel.
Loose change.
Loose change. Nickels. Listen to me. Loose change video.
Did you ever see nickels? Terrifying.
Did you ever see nickels, dimes, and pennies? It's enough for a subway ride and a corned beef sandwich.
Nickels won't get you a cup of coffee, see?
Claiming that the United States government was responsible for 9/11. So he goes on this guy's radio show.
Yeah.
And starts to talk and talk and talk. And it's magic. And we're going to have such a good time tonight listening to it. Here's the first clip where Charlie addresses his critics and how he is responding to people what he claims unfairly judging him.
I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second. And I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every frickin' turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls. You know, I'm dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee, because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity. And, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives. And then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
What happened in that clip, man? What did he say?
It reminds me of when Miley Cyrus was smoking salvia.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
It's him saying basically he's tired of pretending that his life isn't perfect and he's not winning all the time, because that's what's happening. His life is perfect and he's winning all the time. And he says he's sober, too, which you can tell by that clip. He absolutely is. He's never been more coherent. He's strafing runs before my first cup of coffee, man. You're actually chewing his lips off while he's talking. He was asked about these three women he's vacationing with in the Bahamas and what their relationship is, and Charlie says that it's a very close bond.
What we all have is a marriage of the heart, of the hearts. And I, you know, to sully, to contaminate, or, you know, or radically disrespect this union with a shameful contract is something I will, you know, leave to the amateurs and the Bible grippers. The Bible grippers.
The Bible grippers.
Yeah, so terrifying he repeated it.
The Bible grippers.
Yeah, he's right, man. You got to look out for them Bible grippers.
Now, his soon-to-be ex-wife, Brooke, apparently got to the Bahamas, looked around and said, what the fuck am I doing? And she left.
Right.
So they asked Charlie about that.
So Brooke did go along with you, but she's not there now.
No, she's not there now, and we are, and I don't know, winning, anyone? Rhymes with winning. Anyone? Yeah, that would be us. Sorry, man. Didn't make the rules. Oops.
Yes. I could listen to this all night long.
Are you sure it's not like a Chuck Sheen impersonator?
No, this is
something?
The real deal. Then it gets good, because they talk about Chuck Lorre, the creator of Two and a Half Men.
Okay.
Whose real name apparently is Charles Levine.
Okay.
Charlie insists on calling him Chaim Levine. Because apparently he's hanging out with Mel Gibson these days and had to get some anti-Semitic slams in. This is funny, coming from a guy, by the way, Charlie Sheen, whose real name is Carlos Irwin Estevez, making fun of someone else using another professional name. But here he goes off on his boss, in essence, Chuck Lorre.
Let me just say this. It's nothing this side of deplorable that a certain Chaim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Chaim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write. Clearly someone who believes he is above the law. Well, you've been warned, dude. Bring it.
Bring it.
And one more thing.
He says, I've been turning your tin cans into solid gold effortlessly and magically for the past 10 years. Has he seen Two and a Half Men?
I mean, but it's a ratings fucking hit. It makes them a lot of money. I want to live in Charlie Sheen's head where everything's, let's all go inside. Everything seems so fucking good and right and fucking like, yeah, it's a big bucket of wind. Moving on.
Charlie claims he self-healed his own addiction in the span of about an hour.
I believe it.
And his friends and family wanted him to enter into AA, wanted him to go into a program. Charlie has no respect for AA, as you'll hear here.
Another one of those stupid mottos, Alex, is don't be special, be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you. There it is.
You sound like Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy.
Thomas Jefferson was a pussy, apparently.
Oh, God. He's taking on history.
Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, a tin can which I spun into gold.
Ben Franklin, bring him on. He's a pussy.
Charlie's willing to debate anyone on any stage about the merits of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Bait me on AA right now. I have a disease. Bullshit. I cured it with my brain, with my mind. I'm cured. I'm done. Well, we all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view, Alex.
Smoking
hotties. When did he become announcer for monster truck rallies? That's what I want to know.
Smoking smooth.
Saturday, come out with these smoking hotties. Cure yourself of addiction in an hour. It may be lonely, but I like the view. The good news is Charlie doesn't need 2.5 Men anymore because they are planning another Major League sequel. Yes, that movie we've all been demanding, The Further Adventures of Wild Thing. Yes, stop it. You're feeding into his mental illness, sir. Here's Charlie's take on the new Major League.
A lot of people think the movie's called Wild Thing, as they should. But whatever. I agreed to do it. There's one deal point that Jim Robinson, a wonderful man, and Morgan Creek, a great company, need to work out. If they want me in it, it's a smash. If they don't, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat. And
they want me in it, it's a smash. If they don't, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat.
I made a few of those.
Yeah. Here's Charlie explaining his new tattoo.
When I was getting a tattoo during the death from above, and it was it's the banner from the death card that Kilgore is throwing on his victims. But there's also falling from it is the apple from the giving tree. There's my life. Deal with it. Oh wait, can't process it. Losers winning. Bye bye.
Winning, losers, bye-bye. He's fucking crazy. And apparently today he was on another radio show, Pat O'Brien's radio show here in Los Angeles, went on there and spouted more insanity. Mm. And so Warner Brothers and CBS later just today announced, you know what? We're just going to not do any more episodes this season of 2.5 Men.
They've recently announced that they're just stopping?
They were doing a hiatus.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, you know what? We're good. We're good for the season. We're done.
So does that mean they're going to come back or no?
Now CBS has to decide. Do they recast? Do they shit can the show? We have to wait and see. But they're not going back into production with him, at least not right now.
So the other 1.5 Men must be like, fuck.
Can you imagine if you're Ducky?
Yeah.
Oh, poor fucking Ducky.
Yeah. If you're Ducky, you're sitting on top of a mailbox in the rain with your legs crossed and probably feeling alone and shit.
John Cryer's done like 100 pilots that never went anywhere. He's on the one hit show of his life.
This dude has saved all of his money. The moment he stepped onto the set and saw who he was working with, I'm sure he was like, honey, put it all away. Bury the money in the yard.
I just showed up for work at the Warner Brothers lot. Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Yeah, bagels, need some coffee. Winning, do it. Bye-bye. Fuck, it's just
hello,
the read-through.
Ducky, loser, winning.
So we yet to know what's going to happen to the future of 2.5 Men. But in response to them saying that, Charlie Sheen released another statement today about his boss, Chuck Lorre. This contaminated little maggot can't handle my power and can't handle the truth. I wish him nothing but pain in his silly travels, especially when they wind up in my octagon. Barely he would like to fight him in an MMA fight. Clearly, I have defeated this earthworm with my words. Imagine what I could have done with my fire-breathing fists.
I said to my mom when I left home.
Does it really?
That dude's fucking crazy and dangerous, man. Dangerous to women, dangerous to people in general.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I say we put him in a room, give him as much blow as he wants.
And film it?
And then just watch him burst into flames at some point.
So it seems like he fucked himself out of that job. Maybe that's what he wanted all this time. Maybe he's just like, I want off of that fucking show. I hate it.
Think he was tired of making $2 million an episode?
I guess, man, because he knows he can make more everywhere else. Everywhere he goes, he shits gold and pisses fucking diamonds. And dude's amazing, amazing.
But the thing is, when you talk like that and you're making $2 million an episode, you get professional athletes and porn stars and drug dealers to hang out at your house. When you stop making that money and you're pushing a shopping cart and you talk like that, they just throw a fucking net over you. That's what happens. Yeah, so I was winning, loser, bye-bye. And you just point to people at Ralph's Market, you know, you're going to be in big trouble. It's not the allure is gone, I'm saying.
Yes, Charlie, they're all losers.
Charlie claims, by the way, he doesn't need the show because HBO has offered him a deal for a show called Sheen's Corner. A 10-episode show, which will, he says, will be epic, feature all kinds of guests, and will focus on the truth and the absurd. Charlie shames they will pay him $5 million an episode for this.
That is an unrealistic, like, I don't even think Ellen DeGeneres makes $5 million per episode.
HBO, when contacted, said, no. There's no truth to that. I don't know what he's talking about. I think Lovett should sue him for that liar character he used to do on Saturday Night Live, because it sounds like Charlie's going to, they're going to give me $5 million. 10 episodes.
And on the show, my wife is Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, see? It'll be called Sheen's Corner. Lots of guests. So there's your Charlie Sheen update. I couldn't be more excited. Wow. It is the gift that keeps on giving.
Ralph, he won't be missed.
No, he won't. Lindsay Lohan's in the news.
Lindsay Lohan.
She,
Lindsay Lohan.
Had her plea bargain meeting this week, and the judge said, look, even if you cop to a plea, a lesser charge, you will do jail time. She said, okay, let's not do this then. She's going to go to trial. She's got till March 10th to decide, but apparently she's going to take it to court because not only is she up for grand theft for this necklace that she supposedly stole, but also for violating her probation. So the judge said, if you plead this in front of me, you're going to jail, period. I don't care if you're Lindsay Lohan, he said, which someone grabbed him by the robe and said, it is Lindsay Lohan. He said, what? I didn't know that when I said it was that Lindsay Lohan. No. So apparently she is going to have to do some time unless she goes to trial, and it's all well and good. But my favorite part of the story is that today, Michael Lohan, her dad, went on the radio and said that Dina Lohan, her mom, used to snort coke with Lindsay in the past.
No way. But this dude's, hasn't he been crazy in the past?
Yes.
And shit? And they've
yes.
all disowned him.
But so is she. So it's hard to say whether that's true or not. But I'm glad instead of telling, you know, her doctor or her lawyer or her counselor, he went on radio and revealed it to everyone that they used to do blow together.
Totally.
And Charlie Sheen said, winning. Bye-bye. Come to Bahamas with me. We have a marriage of the hearts. I don't know why it's Harvey Fierstein all of a sudden.
Yeah, what happened? All of a sudden, Chuck Sheen went gay. Yeah.
Oh, Justin Bieber. Couldn't be more in the news. You may have felt the seismic shift this week when Justin got a haircut. I don't know if you heard that news or not.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Justin cut his trademark hairdo. I've got a photo of the before and after, just in case you didn't know. There's him on the left before, and on the right, you can see it's radically, radically different. He's still a lesbian. Still looks like a little lesbian.
I saw a picture of him and Wayne Gretzky this week on Twitter. He posted a picture that just said, Gretzky.
The two of them together?
Yeah, yeah.
You're God with the Antichrist, side by side. It's the beginning of end times.
Yeah, it could be.
I'll help you escape.
Is that your Wayne Gretzky?
Yes. Bieber apparently is going to the Playboy Mansion this week. Oh, it just gets worse. What's a 16-year-old lesbian going to do at the Playboy Mansion?
Get his pussy sucked.
By the way, Hefner says that his fiance Crystal Harris has a severe case of Bieber fever, so he might get lucky after. What the fuck's going on up there at the mansion? He's 100, she's 20, they're getting married, but she's got the hots for a 16-year-old lesbian. That's a crazy place, that Playboy Mansion. Weird fan in the back enjoyed
totally.
That.
A few of us just aged ourselves.
Speaking of Hefner and the mansion, they've announced their wedding date. Did you get your invitation yet?
No.
Yeah. It's going to be June the 18th at the Playboy Mansion.
I've been there. You've been to the Playboy Mansion.
I have, several times.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know how you feel. You're not a big porn guy, I know that. I'm a big porn guy.
Yeah?
The Playboy Mansion for me was like, I don't know, I don't want to overstate it, but going to the Vatican. Or going to the moon. Or someplace wonderful.
Right.
And it did not disappoint. It was everything I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you hear so much about a place and you get there and I just said, this is where Jimmy Kahn was, you know, banging some girl where Robert Culp and Bill Cosby were over there, you know, making her airtight and stuff. And just, I mean, it's like, it just reeked of like 70s sex and abandon and debauchery and stuff. And it had all that and it followed through for me.
Are you saying that the cast of I Spy...
But when in my mind, when I was a kid, when I heard stories,
situation of like a wobbly H, if you will.
When I heard stories about the mansion as a kid, I always thought there was all the like these cool like hip 70s and 80s guys.
And that's the first person that came in your head. You're like, oh man, I'm jerking off and thinking about Bill Cosby fucking. He's at the Playboy Mansion. He's fucking, and Bob Cope's looking at him. They're high fiving over a chick.
It wasn't masturbatory fantasies for me. It was like a lifestyle thing. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to put on the smoking jacket and the ascot and go out there and just, you know, just make my moves with the ladies.
Okay. And
it was all there. I went there and it was people fucking in the grotto and naked women swimming in the pool. Yeah, it looked like a movie. It was like, look. You remember that scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2, I think it was, where Axel goes up to the mansion and they're like girls without tops playing volleyball on the grass and everything? That shit was going on when I was there.
Yeah.
It was heaven, Kevin.
I went once and none of that was going on. Nobody was fucking in the grotto. It was Easter egg hunt. It was all kids. All kids, and I was like, where are the Playboy bunnies? And they were fucking literally bunnies
just
behind
real bunnies.
A little petting cage, and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was very sweet. They put on a hell of an egg roll there, man.
Like a Chinese egg roll thing? Or?
No, like they roll the egg.
Oh,
down
I'm
the
sorry.
Hill.
I thought when it came to food, maybe.
Yeah, they made a hell of an egg roll. Which,
what a buffet.
Coincidentally, they did, actually.
Anyway, the mansion's going to be the home of the wedding on June the 18th. Hugh Hefner and his young bride, Crystal, will be getting married on that
day. How many marriages has he had in that house, Ralph?
This will be his second. I think he's been married three times total. This will be the second time there at the mansion.
Right on.
It's going to be a personal, intimate affair, just 300 close guests. And they're all going all out. They're straining the pubic hair out of the pool. They are extra penicillin in the grotto for anybody. There'd be a special dance, a dollar dance with the bride. You bang her and you put a dollar in her garter or something. It's going to be magical.
Why would he get married at this point?
I have no idea. I really don't. She must want it, right? It can't be him.
I don't know. Maybe when you get older and you're just, I just want the love of a good woman.
When you get older, he was old when he was married last
That's
time.
What I'm saying.
How much older does he have to get?
I don't know.
It's funny, though. He got divorced last time, like the day they... like released Viagra onto the market. That's when he said, oh, wait a minute, I don't need this anymore. I don't need marriage anymore. He's Nicolas Cage. Is who
I was going to say, is he fucking Thurston Howell the third as well?
All the rich guys I know talk that way. Anyway, God bless him. Speaking of marriage, Kelsey Grammer and his new wife, they got married tonight in New York City. Congratulations to why are you whooping for Frasier? They got married in a Broadway theater.
Oh, because he's out there doing a play right now.
And because he's gay. No, he's doing a play. And in order to get married, he had to pay off his other wife, you know, in order to get the divorce
Camille.
Finished with.
Yes.
He paid her out this week. They announced $50 million.
half of what he reportedly earned during their 10-year marriage.
Right, he gave her half.
Prenup.
No prenup, so he gave her half of everything from the past 10 years, which... $50 million they came up with.
Yeah. Now, wait a sec. If he gives her $50 million, does she have to pay $25 million in taxes?
Am I your CPA? I don't know anything about that. I'm just,
well, I mean, he's
it's not like the lottery. I don't think you just automatically have to give it up. I think there must be some tax shelter or something for ex-wife.
She's like, you know what you get for fucking Kelsey Grammer for 10 years?
$50 million.
Yeah.
I'd fuck Rhea Perlman for 10 years to get that kind of money.
I'd fuck Norm while Cliff was fucking me. Take them all on. And the old drunk dude at the end of the bar is like, good night. You know, that guy, too. I'd take all three of those drunks on. I'd go airtight.
I'd take Coach's corpse for 10 years.
I would certainly take a Woody. I take it back.
One too far.
I did. I really did.
One too
sorry,
far.
Sorry.
Put it in the file.
File.
How badly do you want to get rid of your ex-wife, though, if you're just saying, okay, here's just a check for $50 million. I want to be done with you. I'm going to move on to this girl now.
You want out badly.
You want out bad for $50 million.
Yeah, $50 million. I mean, well, but what are you going to do? He can't contest it. He got caught, right, with his pants down, like the other girl was pregnant or something?
No, he was exposed that he was having a relationship with this woman in New York while the wife was back in Los Angeles.
Right.
And apparently he broke up with the wife via text. Apparently that's how it happened.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It was just like, I can't do this
anymore. The story broke, and he's like, it's true, I'm in love, and we need, the marriage is over. That's how she got the news. That's worth $50 million.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Man. That's a $50 million text right there. I wish he had accidentally texted me. I'd be like, I'm suing for $50 million, Kelsey. Wow, that's horrible, man.
Baby news, Alyssa Milano's pregnant. What, because you had a shot? Now you're upset? Damn it, I was this close. I knew just as soon as she got through the LA Kings, I was next. I'm just saying, she likes her hockey players.
She does, she does. She used to go out with a devil years ago. There's a poster of her wearing a Jersey Devils jersey many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Boo on what? Boo
the
on
Devils,
her
I think.
Devils?
I think Devils.
Oh, go fuck yourselves. I'm not going to defend my team, but go fuck yourselves. She's pregnant, Ralph. She's the mom. Right
she on. Is the mom, yeah. She announced her news.
Thank you.
She announced the news the old-fashioned way. She tweeted that she and her husband couldn't be happier. Well, what are you going to say? You're going to have a baby. You might as well pretend.
Oh.
More baby news. Owen Wilson just recently became a dad. His girlfriend, Jay Duell, had his baby.
Hold on.
This is a hostile crowd,
I'm trying
man.
To ignore that. This dude, you're just like, Owen Wilson over here, you just hear, fuck him.
I know. I don't know why that
Jesus
guy would
Christ,
say
nobody.
That.
Alyssa Milano got the knife. Owen Wilson's got the knife.
It's the Garmy.
It really is. Garmy strong. Garmy mad.
The Garmy started.
Garmy smash. Dun, 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 dun. Garmy going home. Dun, 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 dun.
The Garmy's starting to scare me a little bit.
I mean, a little bit, dude. When even Owen Wilson.
I feel like Frankenstein.
Fuck him, let's beat him up, too.
I feel like Dr. Frankenstein, who built a monster. Now it's out of my control.
That's true.
Wait, come back. Garmy. There's the sad man walking music.
What the fuck? But thank you.
Owen Wilson recently became a dad. His girlfriend, Jay Duell, had the baby, and it was his. Or was it? Yeah. As if on cue. That was good. You guys are good. apparently, she was sleeping with and living with her ex-boyfriend when she got pregnant. So now there's some dubiousness whether to the baby is actually Owen's or not.
Right. Mm. That's awkward, right?
It is awkward. This is your baby. She said.
What kind of punctuation is that?
Question mark? Period? Colon?
It's like more like a question mark, exclamation point, like kind of combined.
So that's got to be bad news, right, for him?
I'm sure they're all very comfortable with the situation,
yeah, you're
Ralph.
Right.
In
you're
Hollywood,
right.
People love situations like that.
You're
no
right.
way, man. Could you imagine? Like, the whole time, I'd just be like, just tell me, is it really someone else's kid? Like, seriously.
What if she doesn't know?
Who can we ask?
The magic eight ball.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Could be true. I'm like, all right, that's good enough.
Ask again later.
Shit.
Wow. I just wanted to show this picture because I just loved it so much. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas were in London this week. I don't know if you saw that or not. Catherine Zeta-Jones got hit in the head by a paparazzi. Or a paparazzi. That's not funny. That's the setup. The paparazzo were jamming them, and Catherine Zeta-Jones... So I thought they were showing the picture.
Yeah, me too. I was like, the clip go up?
Not jamming them, like, in a sexual way. Fuck. No, they were pressing up against them. All right, that's not it either. They were crowding in, trying to get pictures. And Catherine Zeta-Jones took it to the face. A camera hit her in the face.
This story, it starts getting sexy, and then you pull it back, and it gets horrible.
And Michael Douglas is with her. She's there to get her Commander of the Order of the British Empire, because she's Welsh, you know, and she's done a bunch of work for charity and stuff. And so they gave her this award, and the British photographers, the British tabloids are even more harsh than the Americans.
Right.
And so they're crowding in, and she gets hit and starts screaming. And Michael Douglas, all throat cancered up and everything, springs into fucking action and starts taking people out.
Really?
Yeah, here's the picture. You can see it. It's her on the left when it first happens. And on the right, he's like dropping guys. He's a badass.
That looks like a scene from Black Rain.
It does. Andy Garcia's laying there in a pool of his own blood from a samurai sword.
Totally.
I just thought it was such a great picture because, like, he's old and infirmed and stuff, and he's still protecting his woman.
I mean, wouldn't you? If you were that old and you had Catherine Zeta-Jones, I'd cut your throat to save her life. Yeah. Man. I'm like, get off my fucking Kool-Aid, bitch.
You got to keep proving yourself to her, right?
Totally.
She's so hot and younger than you, so you got to keep showing that you're virile. You're still a pack leader of the Lions.
No doubt.
Right?
What is, was she injured?
No, she was just a bitch.
Got some issues with chicks, dude.
I'm just saying.
Why? Why? Because she got hit in the face?
It was probably not bad.
Did you hear that?
Michael started Gordon Gekko on some ass right there.
Yeah, really. He's like, defense is good.
Oh, Spider-Man the musical, how I love you.
What is the death toll up to this week, Rob?
How you bring me little gifts every week. No one died this week.
Yet.
Strangely enough.
It's only Friday.
But Bono and the Edge now are starting to get nervous about this production. You know, they brought some in. We said last week they brought someone in to rewrite the script for the play. Now they're bringing someone in to rewrite the music.
Uh-oh.
His name is Paul Bogave. And this was the guy who helped out Elton John with Aida, his musical that was on Broadway. Phil Collins, when he did Tarzan, also used this guy. And now Bono and the Edge have brought this guy in to help pump up the music a little bit and get it ready for its official opening on March the 15th.
This play is still not opened yet.
No, it's still in previews.
Unbelievable.
Which leads me to my next story, which I love. There is a small theater in New York that has decided to try to fuck over Spider-Man. They have said they are going to launch their own Spider-Man musical. Spider-Man Smackdown, it's called.
I want to see it.
They've just started putting it together. They've got about 30 days. They said their budget is zero. Everyone is volunteering their services. But they're writing a complete book, a whole script, original songs, dancing, the whole thing. They're going to put it together, and they're going to open on March the 14th, one day before Spider-Man Turn Up the Dark opens. So they will be the first Spider-Man musical ever opening on Broadway.
Spider-Man. Hold on. Stop the music. What are you grabbing at fucking bubbles in the air? What is that?
I'm shooting my webs, bitch.
Dude, I'm fine, but you were going like this.
No, I was doing this.
You were like catching butterflies.
It's hard because I'm holding a mic with one hand, but I would be doing this.
Like, hey, everybody, you got to clap or the fairy dies. Let's catch her together. That was not Spider-Man. You got to be like, thwip, 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 thwip. Thank you.
Much better. Much better.
Yeah, I know.
I am the sound effect police. And I say his web spinning was better than yours.
Don't be jealous.
I am jealous. They're bringing in the guy who wrote music for the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Hair. He's going to do the music for it. It's like some hardcore people who are getting into the spirit of this, and they're all getting together to fuck over the other people working really hard on Broadway.
Beat the Spider-Man movie. Yeah, Battle of the Spider-Man, man. This is like, they're like the Spider-Man clone, dude. Ben Reilly, Clone Saga. Thank you.
There's a geek over there. That's funny. Yeah.
But back home on the internet, people are like...
Do a Venom joke.
Well... This is just like that time Carnage was at that concert.
Speaking of people who have played superheroes, George Clooney, of course, was famously Batman at one point.
Wow. What? That's a very thin marrow to connect those stories together. But I appreciate
there was
it.
No place to go from here to there. I had to get there somehow.
Well done. I liked it.
People have been asking him over and over again recently if he'd like to get into politics. And I just was so impressed by his answer. I'm sorry. You okay? It's like... George Clooney, fuck him and his charity work.
Garmy mad. Garmy hate. Hato in session.
George said, I didn't live my life in the right way for politics. I fucked too many chicks and I did too many drugs, and that's the truth. Yeah! That's a guy I would vote for.
What does he mean he fucked too many chicks? Like, how does that stop you?
In this world of politics, if they wanted to go into his closet to find up some dirt, he said there's too much dirt on him to get into politics.
Oh, okay.
They would make that the point of the election. You know, all the women he slept with and all the drugs that he's done and all the things
that would
that he's
be a
done.
Reason to run for office, because they dredge it up and they're like, he slept with 300. I'd be like, yes, I have. Thank you very much. Thank you.
He says, from the beginning, I'd have to say I did it all. I drank the bong water. Now let's talk about the issues. And he said, that would be a campaign slogan? I drank the bong water? Yeah, he's right. It probably wouldn't be look good on a bumper sticker.
I'd vote for that.
I would, too. God
me
love
too,
him.
George!
Yeah. You know, my ex-girlfriend from many years ago, Ginger Lynn, the former porn star?
Yes.
I think of...
You hear my man just yell out, win!
Yeah.
Winning! Bye-bye.
I think of her so often during the show because she used to sleep with Charlie Sheen. She was his girlfriend for a long time.
Before or after you?
Way before.
Wait, way before she was with Sheen?
No, she was with Sheen before me.
So you tasted Sheen.
I didn't taste Sheen. Shut up!
You
I did not.
Tasted Sheen.
I did not taste Sheen.
You've got the sheen of Sheen on your face, man.
No, you know why? Because Billy Idol came
Garmy
between
run.
Us.
Garmy, run!
Because Billy Idol came between us and washed all that off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was one. So you tasted Billy Idol as well?
I didn't taste anybody.
Eyes without a face?
There was bathing in between all of us. But she also slept with Clooney.
In the midnight hour, she cried, Ralph, Ralph, Ralph.
But she also slept with Clooney.
Did she?
Yeah. So as
you
I go through these stories...
Clooney as well?
As I go through these stories, I keep saying, wow, yeah, I'm connected there, I'm connected there, I'm connected there. It becomes like a weird relief map of my sex life as I talk about these people.
So based on the fact that he's fucked too many chicks to go into politics... Now you can't either.
Oh, no, yeah. Imagine me going into politics, please. Yeah! Oh, I've got the Garmy.
Garmy votes.
Who are you? I'm going to move on. I got a couple stories here I'm just going to skip because I think she fucked all these guys. All right, let's talk about this guy. He's my new hero. Remember we talked about Phoenix Jones from Washington State? This was the guy who was the real-life kick-ass. He put on a costume and started fighting crime like a superhero in the streets of Washington, D.C.
And then got his real-life kicked ass.
He said, well, first of all, if you're a black guy and you want to be a superhero, don't call yourself Phoenix Jones. Because you make yourself sound like a 70s blaxploitation movie. Phoenix Jones. That's right, sucker. I'm Phoenix Jones. I'm here to clean up Seattle. Fred Williamson is Phoenix Jones. So, he fought crime on the street, and he got his ass kicked.
Yes.
I haven't heard a lot of Phoenix Jones stories since that event.
He might have hung up the cape.
He might have. Now, in the UK, they've got their own kick-ass superhero, the Statesman, his name is.
Okay.
Well, they're British. They're much more civilized than us.
Yeah, really. What a weird Phoenix Jones.
Yes, States. I'm the statesman. Oh, are you committing crime on this gentleman? I'd like you two to talk it out. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Perhaps I can mediate. The statesman says he goes out on the street and fights crime. Even his own girlfriend doesn't know his double identity.
Nice.
Here's a picture of the statesman, by the way, helping a homeless guy, giving him a blanket on the street. If his girlfriend doesn't know that he's the statesman, she is one dumb bitch, that girlfriend. Because he's got like a sweatshirt on and like a little
he's
like
Robin
mask.
He's got a domino mask. Yeah. That's it.
Apparently, he goes out there and fights crime. He claims that he and his fellow superheroes have even helped capture drug dealers in Manchester. It looks like he's giving him cocaine. It does. He's giving that street person a big, big, giant block of cocaine. Maybe he is a drug dealer.
There you go. This will help.
Yeah.
That's courtesy of the statesman. Oi.
Dick Van Dyke is the statesman.
Hello, Pork Mary Poppins.
But here's the thing. It's got to be better to be a superhero in England, right? Because no guns, right? You can't get shot.
Well, I mean, the cops have no guns.
But the street criminals have fewer guns because there's less guns available in the country.
Fewer,
right?
Doesn't mean no.
Still, your odds get better than, let's say, Washington State, where Phoenix Jones is getting his ass shot at every night. You know?
Dodging a hell of bullets.
I'm just saying, I want us to be superheroes, and yes. I think we might have to do it in England. That's all I'm saying. We might have to move.
We could do it up at City Walk. Like, we basically do our show, and at the last, like, 5 minutes of the show,
put on our costumes.
We have our butler bring out our outfits.
Oh, I like it.
Our Alfred, and they put up a little one of those shades and shit, and we still
change.
Talk, and then fucking the shade goes down. We're like, babble off. And then
we run out and stop people from running through the fountains.
Yeah.
It's late, citizen. Get to your car.
I'm sorry. The Starbucks is closed. Stop banging on that door. We stop City Walk crime.
Yeah.
Have you had too many drinks, citizen? Please, let me smell your breath. Yes, you have.
We can be then what do you do? Well, drive him home.
Yeah. Get in the back of my car.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
There you go. All right. Speaking
to
of
the Ralph Mobile? Is that what they said?
No, to the Batmobile itself. Oh. Yeah. Speaking of superheroes, casting news. Kevin Costner apparently talking with Zack Snyder about being in Superman.
Who do you think? Jonathan Kent
That's
or
the
Perry
word.
White?
The word on the street is Jonathan Kent, Superman's dad. That's who he's going to play.
Surrogate dad, not his real dad. Well, Jor-El's his real dad.
But it's not about who birthed you.
Yeah, it is.
It's about who raises you.
In Superman, it's about who birthed you.
No, it's about Superman, a.k.a. Clark Kent, got his sense of morality, his sense of values from that homespun Kansas farm sort of upbringing.
From two strangers who were terrified of the alien baby their
no,
whole
No, they
lives.
Weren't. They loved yeah. him and took him in as no. their own.
They're like, here's your food, Clarky. And they'd slam the door and bolt in. I'm so scared, Jonathan.
You're ruining a sweet, sweet story about two people of strong morals who helped a little baby who came from another planet, raised him in the truth, justice, and the American way.
The weird little baby that's just like, this isn't hot enough. Just heats his food and shit.
He's lifting the truck when dad gets trapped under
totally.
It.
Totally.
It's like Billy Mumy in that Twilight Zone episode where he's turning people into jack-in-the-boxes.
Yeah,
and
man. He's
mind.
The kid that everyone was scared of.
No, Jonathan Martha Kent raised a good boy in that Clark. And apparently Kevin Costner, who is a very American sort of character.
Yes.
Just listen to him try to do an English accent in Robin Hood, and you'll see how American he is.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I think
Hello,
it's
Maid Marian.
Oi, let's go get that Prince John.
He didn't even try, man. He didn't give it a Dick Van Dyke, man. No. They were like, you're going to throw a little dick on it? He goes, fuck that. I'm Costner. I'm going to throw a big dick on it. No, like, no, man, a little dick like little Dick Van Dyke. He's like, oh. Yeah, totally. Watch this. Hi, Maid Marianne.
So anyway, we'll see if Costner ends up playing Jonathan Kent. But I think it's good casting.
Why?
Because I think he's a very American
You can see
sort
it.
Of,
You're feeling it.
He's iconographic, if you
You think
will.
He dies like he did in the original movie?
I hope so. No, I don't know. It's just, I think it's he's a guy who played Bull Durham and Elliot Ness and all this very American kind
of
characters.
Remember Field of Dreams? Remember Field of Dreams? That last line. If you're a man, if you have any sort of dick between your leg, doesn't even have to be big. Could be like mine, which is all ball, little head.
Yeah.
No neck whatsoever.
All right, we get it. We understand what your dick looks like.
If you got a dangler, that moment at the end of that movie, fucking, like, it breaks your heart. You got to roll a tear when he realizes his dad is one of the kids. Spoilers. If you haven't seen Field of Dreams, his dad's one of the fucking spirits comes, thank you, out of the Field of Dreams. This is better than that. And he goes, Dad, and his voice kind of cracks a little bit, and he goes, you want to have a catch? And he's like, I'd love that, son. He hadn't seen his fucking dad, and oh my God, I gotta go.
You right?
That's such a beautiful moment. That's a really, you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah.
His dad's Ray Liotta, isn't it?
No, Ray Liotta was Shoeless Joe. His dad was the catcher.
Yeah.
Who took off his catcher gear like the whole time he'd been playing. He never saw him because he had a mask.
Yeah, that guy never worked again.
Who played his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
That's why I cry. I look and say, there's another actor who's never fucking working again.
Aww.
See, it's sad. Took the catcher's mask off and said, this is my big movie moment. I'm going to be a star. And then crickets. No calls from the agent after that for that bastard.
I think he actually went on a pretty good career.
Oh, all right. Never mind. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill the mood.
Yeah, really, man. What the fuck?
More casting news. Minnie Driver's got a new series on NBC called...
Thank God.
Called Hail Mary.
Ooh.
She will play a single mom private investigator who teams up with a streetwise hustler to fight crime.
Wait, why? So where's the Hail Mary? I thought maybe she was like a streetwise nun.
I think her name's Mary.
Is that it?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'd like it better if it was just
there's the flush.
I think it'd be cool if it was like Minnie Driver, an ass kicking nun who likes, you know, every once in a while to bend the rules.
By rules, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
She eats a peanut butter sandwich once in a while? Is that what you're saying?
That's what it takes to solve the case, man.
Last week, we talked about this TV show, Are You There, Vodka? It's Me, Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Which was based on a book written by she who will not be funny.
My girlfriend.
Is it her birthday today? No wonder the heavens are crying. And so it's based on her book, but they announced that Laura Prepon was going to star in the lead. And so I said last week, I'm going to try to be magnanimous. I'm not a fan, obviously, but Laura Prepon, I like a lot. I think she's funny. I think she's attractive. I'm going to try to get on board.
Yes.
Then they announced this week, Chelsea Handler's going to play her older sister on the show. They just won't let me go. They keep taunting me.
Now you get to enjoy her work.
I'm really upset about this.
Why, man? You don't have to watch it.
Now I can't watch it. That doesn't matter. I don't have to watch it. I can't watch it now.
Give it a shot.
No!
Give it a shot.
TMZ, it gets worse. TMZ also announced that John Travolta is making a John Gotti movie. You know, the gangster, the Teflon Don, John Gotti. Apparently, Kim Kardashian is in talks to play his daughter for the movie. Didn't you used to have some kind of talent to be in show business?
Yeah, not when I got here.
That's true. I think you were the one. You broke the seal.
Well, they lowered that bar. I jumped right in.
Speaking of John Travolta, many episodes ago, we were talking about celebrity homes and the special sort of quirky qualities that they had. And I mentioned that John Travolta had a refrigerated room just for his hair pieces.
Yes.
And you showed some shock that the fact that he was bald.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
And I was surprised that you were surprised that he was bald.
Yeah.
This week, all kinds of shit hit the fan. Because he's very particular about his baldness, and he wears a toupee almost everywhere he goes in order to cover that up. Or he shaves his head completely bald in effort to, try to pretend it's on purpose. But he was on vacation this week.
Yes.
And he was out without the toupe, and the paparazzi went apeshit.
Really?
So I brought in a picture so you could see what I'm talking about. Look at John. Oh, look at Danny Zuko. Oh,
He kind of looks like Danny Zuko's dad.
He does.
Like, tell me more, tell me more. Take the garbage out.
So that's the real Tony Manero.
Yeah, really.
And his head looks like a dance floor. Sad. You know what else is sad? Kobe Bryant got his hands and footprints in the cement. Some people know this story already. He got his hands and footprints in the cement at Grauman's Chinese Theater this week.
Yay! Ralph, his large body of film work dictates that, of course... What the fuck has he ever done? I've been in movies 17 years. The only thing they tell me is, like, get off the cement.
Hey, look, I got a reaction out of Kevin Smith for something. Finally, he's a little indignant. A little ire is raised.
Seems
thank
weird.
God.
Why?
You have a pulse, sir.
I do, but why? Why is he not?
No explanation as to why Grauman's Chinese Theater put Kobe Bryant in cement outside the theater.
They didn't say.
They did not say. And he told Entertainment Tonight he never thought this would be possible. It's because you're not in fucking movies.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't think.
Yeah, really.
Was it Space Jam? No, Michael Jordan at least did Space Jam.
And even if he was in Space Jam, no, you know, it doesn't matter.
I know he's a great basketball player, but really, do you have to ruin everything? Does everything have to be everything?
I'm going to show him. I'm going to get fucking inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sweet. I am entering
like, what's
you.
What's he doing in here?
I am entering you in the slam dunk competition
yeah.
next year's All Star Game.
I'm in. Yes.
Yeah.
Statue in front of Staples.
Give
Thank
him that.
You. I would like that for
Give
myself. I've been to the Staples once or twice. I bought a lot of snacks, enough to warrant a statue out front.
That's right. Just you holding nachos and a pretzel
yeah.
in one hand. Everything.
When they see me coming, they're like, "We can build the addition."
I've been trying to get Adam West a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood. For 5 years now. I keep entering his name, and I keep getting all the appropriate paperwork and getting all these people to write letters of recommendation, and they won't budge. They won't give him one. But Kobe Bryant gets his feet prints in the Grauman's. It's not right, man.
It honestly doesn't matter. Who cares? How often do you go there? When's the last time you ever looked at the cement? Footprints and shit.
I walk around the courtyard almost every time I go there.
And what? Look at the footprints?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's cool. It's like the history of
I know,
movies laid
do,
out in
you,
front
you
of
you.
You
do that once, and then that's done for life, man. Like, I've been there. I saw that when I was a kid. I moved back out here when I was adult. I looked at the footprints again. I was like, man, there's a few more. And then I was like, fuck these people. They're all dead. And I moved on. What are you looking at all the footprints for? Going, oh, look at this one. He must have been a gem.
I don't buy it because I know there's R2-D2's prints are in there.
But
and I'm
that's
sure
right then
you're
and
down
there,
there going,
dude.
No.
Right then and there, I remember being a kid in like 1977. I remember they covered that on the news. They're like, the stars of Star Wars are putting their feet prints into, and it was C-3PO, R2-D2, and who was the last one?
Vader's feet.
And they're not fucking even real. You know what I'm saying? Those are make-pretend characters. And they were, you know how they were make-pretend? Totally.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This is how I know they were make-pretend. Because Darth Vader was standing next to C-3PO and R2-D2, and he didn't kill them. So that right then and there, it's all...
Cantina.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah.
20s Ralph.
It's not a jazz club. It's a Star Wars cantina. Maybe they made up before they went to Grauman's Chinese Theater. Maybe they all got together and they signed some sort of truce.
Oh, the Star Wars characters?
Yeah, maybe
Again,
that's why they
stands to reason.
Other.
The moment you let fake people, like, hey, they're stars of Star Wars. It's people in costumes. And they put their feet in fucking cement. I mean, yes, they're from movies, but that's weird.
What, so right Kobe Bryant is okay for you?
That's not okay, but it's just like, why does anyone hold this shit sacred anymore anyway?
You have no sense of
Dude,
legacy,
Dude, you know that
man.
Fucking stupid, the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame can be bought. It can be purchased.
Not... Apparently by me.
No.
Because I've been trying it for 5 years. I said, what does it cost? What's it going to take? No,
it's
we're not interested.
It's a cool thing, but
no,
it's
No, we'd
like...
rather give one to Tinkerbell.
Yes.
She's a cartoon, I say out loud. And
yeah.
they say, yeah, but Disney. Check.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So why would you care about being involved in something that's
not... Because I love Adam West so much.
It's not an honor. It's not an empty... It's an, I know, but...
Because someday if I get him a star in the Walk of Fame, he'll say, Ralph, old chum, you and I should sleep together. And the next thing you know, to the bat poles. You know what I'm saying? In the bat cave.
How? Let's all go inside. How old is Adam West?
Adam West is 82 years young.
Is he really?
He is.
You would fuck an 82-year-old man?
That man, I would, yes.
That man. I'm fucking that man. That man.
Sorry. I just love him so much. You want to see The Bodyguard remade?
Fuck yes. I mean, never.
Look, I know it holds a place of warmth in some people's hearts, but if you go back and watch it, Kevin Costner... If you go back and
watch... We'll always love you, Ralph!
If you go back and watch it, it may not necessarily hold up, is what I'm saying. Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston, good script. That version could be good songs.
Like,
Lawrence Kasdan, of course, wrote the screenplay.
He did. The man who's responsible for Empire Strikes Back screenplay.
Raiders of the Lost Ark screenplay.
The Big Chill screenplay.
Silverado screenplay.
Grand Canyon screenplay. You can't look at the sheet. I'm pulling out of my head.
Jersey Girl. He wrote Jersey Girl.
He didn't write that piece of shit.
No, he didn't write that. You may be interested to know that. He wrote that in the 70s, however. It was a screenplay that sat on a desk somewhere for a long time. He wrote it for Steve McQueen and Diana Ross.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. That was all the buzz. Who are they talking about doing now?
Rihanna to be the female lead.
Right on, man.
Come on.
She's
Rihanna.
Like, I need me a bodyguard. Bodyguard. Bodyguard.
And, of course, bodyguard.
I'm not filing that. That was good.
Former Secret Service agent becomes her bodyguard. Apparently, Justin Bieber in talks to play that role. So I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He's 12. All right. Let's get to the Oscars since they are happening this weekend really quickly.
That is this weekend.
It is this weekend.
I had no idea. Yeah. I saw all this fucking traffic near my house. I was like, what the fuck? Get these kids off my lawn. I was like a cranky old man.
They're doing the Oscars on your lawn
On my front lawn. So they ran out of money, I guess.
Anne Hathaway rings the doorbell. I gotta use the bathroom. Can I come in?
If Anne Hathaway knocks on my door, I'm gonna be like, I saw your boobs in Havoc.
Oh, yeah. God, she's so hot.
She's a good actress, too.
Yeah.
Come back.
I'm just waiting for my erection to go down. My favorite thing of the Oscars is I like to put a little money on the awards, and you can bet on anything now.
Yes.
And I went to the betting website, so they gave us odds for all of the awards, which I thought was cool. So, for example, the King's Speech, you got to lay $500 just to make $100. It's minus $500 this year, so that's what they're saying is the odds-on hardcore favorite to win.
Right.
Social Network is next at even money. Then The Fighter goes up to 2,000. It's plus 2,000, so $100 will get you 2,000. So they're saying it's going to be one of those two, basically.
Okay.
Best Actor, Colin Firth, minus 6,000.
So if you put up $6,000, you can win
$100. You win $100.
Suckers.
Best Actress, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, is minus $2,000.
Mm.
Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale. It's minus 1,500 for The Fighter.
Right.
I really think Jeffrey Rush has a shot, but apparently he's a plus 350.
Well, he won the Golden Globe, Ralph. I don't know if he won the SAG Award, but people seem to like his druggy performance. I liked it. I thought it was incredibly authentic.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
He was great.
And Jeffrey Rush is wonderful in that movie, but Christian Bale has definitely the showier part, and he lost weight for the role and stuff like that. And plus, you know, fucking, he's Batman. Everyone wants to honor Batman.
I know I do.
As we heard.
Yeah, really. The real one, though, Adam West.
Not the one that's just like, he must have friends.
Not the fake British Batman.
Oi, Robin, let's go.
Let's go. Look at that.
Oi, it's the Joker.
There's a cave underneath my house. I'll just live here for a while.
I found another riddle, Batman. Oi, Robin, put it in the back computer.
And ironically, their Alfred is American.
Hey, wouldn't that be weird? Yeah.
So their Alfred's like, can I help you guys?
Yeah, can I get you guys a sandwich or something? I got you guys some tea. You want it? Drink it, don't drink it. I don't fucking care.
Jesus, what's with these fucking faggy outfits over
Jesus
here?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, you fag
Fuck,
man or
one
what?
One guy's got this the ears, the other guy with the little shorts.
I can see his ass cheeks in this. Oh, over there with his ass
Pick
cheeks.
Up a gun, be a man.
Batarang, put it back in your pants, buddy. Oh! Dice is working for them.
Dice is the butler. Best Supporting Actress, Melissa Leo is the favorite. Our pal Melissa
yes,
Leo.
Yes, bitch, our Melissa Leo from Red State.
Does that help us if she wins the Oscar?
Fuck yes, man, because then we're like, we got classy actors like Melissa Leo. She just won an Oscar. Yeah. People are like, oh, yeah. And we're like, yeah.
And other classy actors like?
Ralph Garman. That's, he didn't win an Oscar. He's got a Garmy behind him.
That's right. Speaking of Oscars, this is the last story of the night, but I was so impressed by this story. Big doings in England. They're very upset over there. Tuesday, it was revealed that the main location for the King's speech, the scene, if you've seen the movie, you know, the office where Jeffrey Rush brings in the King to teach him how to get over his
biggest
stammer.
Biggest set in the movie, yeah. Right. They spend a lot of time there.
Was the same location used for a very successful gay porn movie there in England. And a lot of people are talking about it. I brought you a scene so you could see. This is the King's speech. This is the scene with the King. You can see that very distinctive background behind it. That's the King. And then this one is the Queen, I guess you would call it. This next picture. There you go. Yeah. Very different kind of film, and yet very...
That
very...
dude doesn't look like he has any problem stuttering.
No. I like his scepter, though.
And then suddenly through the window, oi, it's Batman.
No.
I'm here to break up these homosexual antics with me little pal Robin. Hello.
The Oscar winner was The King's Speech. The Oscar nominee was The King's Speech. This film apparently was called The Queen's Felch, was apparently the name of this film. I'm kidding. It was called Snookered. And a lot of people are having a lot of fun with this in the UK. They're making fun of the fact that it was made. I think actually,
it's still up there on the screen, man.
There are some scenes though in the King's speech, I think, that could be interpreted as a gay porn movie if you look at this actually, because the King has a very pretty mouth in this particular scene, and Jeffrey Rush is just about to.
That's how he gets him over the stutter.
That's right. Smoking doesn't loosen your throat, but I have something that will.
What is that? The sound of a blowjob? That's not a good blowjob. If you can make noises like ow, ow, then the dick's over here. Because otherwise it's ow, ow, ow. Or, as we all know, nom, nom,
nom. Or it's you eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So hopefully this night, while you're watching the Oscars this weekend, you will think of the fact that gay people were having sex where the King was learning how to speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is hot, man. That makes that movie kind of hot and shit. Suddenly it's just like, instead of like the King's speech, it's like the King's speech.
Yeah.
Where anything goes.
Especially when he's laying on his back, stretching his diaphragm. You're
totally,
like,
man.
Oh, what's he laying in?
Yeah. Big puddle of sperm.
Yeah. British goo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jeffrey Rush gets on top of him and shit, and suddenly, psh, window crashes. Oi, I'm Batman. We're back. It's me.
And I'm Robin. I've got little pants on, a little yellow cape that flaps behind me.
There's nothing wrong with his bare legs. It's perfectly masculine, it is. I'm Batman.
And I carry condoms in my utility belt.
Me little friend Robin here, he just escaped from the arch-villain, the Diddler. He was grabbing at his privates, he was. Touching at Robin's privates.
It's the last time I go to a Catholic church.
That's Hollywood Babylon for this week, man. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Babble the fuck off. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman, Hollywood Babylon, live at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Thanks again for coming out and supporting.